football on Off the Ball.
You're right to say that I can even go so far as to say I'm an anorak, I'm a geek, I adore football. It's very rare that I can get enough of it.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Racing Pod
on Off the Ball
with William Hill. Best odds guaranteed on all Irish and UK racing. 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
And you're welcome to episode 43 of the Racing Pod on Off the Ball with John Duggan and Johnny Ward. Remember, we're here every week with analysis, interviews, previews, tips, stories, bit of crack as well. The first half of the pod each week is free to air. The second part is exclusively for members. So be sure to sign up now by going to offtheball.com/join. And this week for members, we will focus on Saturday's action at Ayr. And Johnny, you'll also have a tip for our members, I believe.
Tip at Navan JD. Hopefully it'll be worth the wait for the members section. Very, very strong on it. I'm actually at Navan tomorrow, so I'm looking forward to that. But it would be hard to emulate our success of last weekend at the same time.
No, Johnny, your success.
Just it was one of those. Yeah, the car was one of those days. It was like...
So you tipped Scorthy Champ 12-1.
Yeah.
Lake Victoria 11-2. I think we both tipped that in the member section.
She tipped Tenali when I kind of had to do selections in every race. It was one of the best days tipping I've had. But then we went to Laytown on Monday, JD, and that was a bit trickier. So we went there with high hopes and didn't quite work out. We had a good day, but I was just saying this. I'm sure I'd bored a lot of people with this idea at the weekend that Irish Champions Festival should be like Leopardstown, the Curra, Laytown on the Monday, like, because it's so unique and they're all near Dublin. So you could just get, I mean, the amount of English people. We met like Ian Popham, the jockey.
That's right.
His parents. We met loads of English people there. And the same at like the Curra on Sunday, but it was just a fantastic weekend. I wasn't at Leopardstown, but the other 2 days were great fun.
It's interesting that a gentleman came up to us and said that he heard us talking about Laytown and decided to go on a whim and enjoyed it. The weather was magnificent. Then you can see the mountains of Mourne, I believe, from there. It's just under 5,000 people. Great success. Wish they could do more often. Probably hard to organise, and you've got JCBs and everything on the racetrack as it is on the beach. But just folks, try and go next year if you can.
Yeah, like we had a kind of a jolly boys outing. And I think it's something we should... I almost can't wait to do it again next year. It was just perfect crack, like, and it's six races. There's no kind of hanging around. The races come thick and fast. Even the bar facilities, there was a jazz band, met people over from Racing TV there who came on a whim as well. It's uniquely Irish experience, I suppose. But it was good racing as well, like really competitive betting ring. It was just, I absolutely loved it, I have to say. I've been to Laytown before, but hadn't really been there on a kind of a trip with the lads and the lassies. And like the bus we were on, JD, was 50 people on it, and I think everyone loved it. And we didn't have many winners, but...
What works then and what doesn't work? Because you go to racing all the time. How can they take that as an example of what could work somewhere else?
The facilities for something that obviously is literally thrown together in a field beside the beach were very good. It was friendly, and I suppose like you had very good access. Remember when we came in, we got like our little pitch along the rails, and we almost kind of... hugged that pitch, and we shared responsibility for it for the whole day because the viewing was so good. You were right beside the horses. I just loved it. Everything, obviously, as you say, the day made a massive difference. If it hadn't been lashing rain, would have made a huge difference. But Laytown deserved massive publicity and credit for it. And all the photos then get into the papers the next day and onto the news. So it's good publicity for racing. And it was just the 3 days in a row, like if you were to pick three flat days to go racing in a row, I think that has everything.
Yes.
Yeah, it really has.
Maybe even more so than a Derby weekend at the moment. Mm. What did you take out of the Champions Festival then? Any horses that were eye catchers? Anything that really impressed you?
Yeah, I suppose we spoke a good bit about the Champions Stakes and we thought economics was too short, and we were right because he was only 5-4 or whatever on Friday morning when we recorded. And then on Saturday morning, he'd gone out sort of 2-1, 9-4, and he was back then into, what do you go off, 7-4 in the end in the Champions Stakes to beat Auguste Rodin. But like Shin Emperor was the horse to take out the race massively, JD.
Now, you did pick this one before as well.
Yeah, and I was saying, like, he was 16-1, so I hope some people followed me in each way, but I was saying to back him for the arc, back him for the arc. And even after race, if he could get on, he was very, very backable for the arc. He's a quarter of the price I think he was now after race. He was so eye-catching because obviously he's a brother to Sotsa, who won the arc. But economics, Tom Marquand had a great day. He's for a horse with so little experience, you can't take away from him. I thought he was a commanding enough winner by a neck as well, but it was a fascinating race.
They were racing from quite a distance out. It was a lot of speed required over 10 furlongs. It struck me that Los Angeles and maybe Shin Emperor to a lesser degree just didn't have the toe.
Yeah, absolutely.
This was not like like over another 2 furlongs, different result.
Yeah, it was a funny race where it looked like they didn't go especially hard, and then the top of the straight they start to race, and Shin Emperor was travelling, but like he doesn't really, like especially over mile and two, watching his runs in his homeland, he doesn't seem to quicken, and he got going. And then at the line, he was only 3 parts of a length off August Rodin, but like Los Angeles, who, as you say, like he's a horse who stays well, really solid. Ghost Rider fancied, they finished in a bit of a heat, but Luxembourg in 6, like he's a solid horse. So it looked a very good renewal of the race, and Shin Emperor now going to Paris must have a great chance.
What about economics in the future? William Haggis has to decide what to do with him.
Yeah, like I don't know. I mean, he was a horse that they needed to supplement for the Derby after he won the Dante. And for whatever reason they didn't. What's funny about him is he's by night a Thunder, but on the dam side he's a good mile and a half. Kind of a good mile and a half page, and look at him there. I don't think there'd be any problem with him getting a mile and a half, and he'd go down the stallion ranks now. Absolutely, he's every right to be a stallion. And where they go with him, I'm not sure. Maybe they will think about stepping up to a mile and a half. But it was a captivating race and brilliant ride from Tom Marquand.
That was one of the Group Ones at Leopardstown on Saturday. The other one was won by Porter Fortuna in the Matron Stakes.
Yeah, like this was just a solid horse winning. Quite a lot of us put up Jancis, and she was a bit disappointed. It was strange that the betting, even at the off, had her ahead of Versportillo, when to me it looked like Billy Lee had picked Versportillo, and Jancis just didn't have the toe to go with them. But, you know, Fort Fortuna, again, Tom Marquand, she's just been so solid all year, and she's done wonders for Donegal O'Brien early on in his training career with these Group 1s. And she did the job well from Fallen Angel, again the right horse involved, and I suppose got to give a mention as well to Langalang, who stayed on well in fourth. There's definitely life in her yet.
Jan Breugel won the Doncaster St. Ledger, 2 St. Ledger wins for Aidan O'Brien last weekend, so it's almost like this horse had stayed everybody else, it's felt, over 14 furlongs.
Yeah, I mean, I was very strong at the prices here on Grosvenor Square, and in the end I was actually quite disappointed in him, and he was like the market's couldn't really figure out which of them was the best, because Jan Breugel went off 11-4, Illinois went off 11-4, and Grosvenor Square went off 7-2. So you're splitting hairs here. He was only beaten 6 lengths, but I actually thought Gavin Ryan would nearly make more use of him. And that's kind of a strange thing to say for a pacemaker, but he never got anywhere near the lead he got at the Curragh. And for me, I was always anxious in the race because I felt that he needed to establish sort of an 8 to 10 length lead. And when he was 3 furlongs, 4 furlongs down, he was only marginally up. But Jan Breugel, I mean, for Sean Levy to be back with 2 group winners for Aidan O'Brien this year is remarkable. And he just showed just a bit more class maybe than his stablemate, but kind of a fascinating race to watch really at the same time.
Kyprios is now 13 wins from 17 starts, won the Ledger 2 years ago, has won it again now. Thought he put it to bed pretty quickly and very impressively in the final furlong. It was quite a straightforward win for Kyprios.
Yeah, I felt that he might, you know, he's often been very backable. Like he was 8-13 at Goodwood the last ASP, which just looks, he really looked about a 1-5 shot. But then at the Curragh, so like I hadn't done my betting in the morning really. And as the price opened up on him, it was like 2-5, right? There's no messing around here. And it just looked very straightforward again. You know, those who travelled well in behind, they just couldn't really pick him up. Giavolotto, no excuses. He's a marvellous racehorse. I'd love to see him go to the Ark rather than the Prix de Cadran. I think he'd go there with a chance, definite chance. And Aidan O'Brien mentioned after the race a possibility as well.
For the Ark?
Yep.
Kyprios?
Yeah, because,
right,
like, Stairs can run well in the race. It could be soft ground. I mean, if he wins the Prix de Cadran again, that's fine. But, you know, it doesn't add anything to what he's achieved. And if he wins the Ark, I mean, obviously he's going to be a jump sire, but Aidan O'Brien has constantly said over a mile and two, this horse will be very good. And like these mile and six races, JD, they're not necessarily run at a crazy pace, so they're not that different to mile and a half race. And it's not a strong Ark this year. And he's rated 121. He's well entitled to go there.
He'd not go to the Melbourne Cup then, and not at
home. No, I don't think so, no.
Then Scorthy Champ won the National Stakes, the 2-year-old male race, and then the female race won by Lake Victoria, the Moygler Stud Stakes. Scorthy Champ, you put up, broke well this time and reversed the placings with Henri Matisse, and then Lake Victoria, I like the way she finished at the line.
Yeah, it was.
I suppose, are these horses Guineas horses for next year?
Yeah, I think Lake Victoria should be anyway. Like, if you, I mean, if when they come to the off here and you see Bedtime Stories 4-5 and Lake Victoria's 11-2, I mean, surely you're thinking there's no way that she can beat her. But in, racing is racing, and at this level, like, you know, it's, there's nothing hooky about it. Like, they're, Bedtime Story, I suppose, didn't really run her race, and I was watching it kind of by the rails, and Jerry Hannon said, it's great to meet Jerry, my cousins as well met him and they were delighted to meet the commentator, and it was just one of those days he met a lot of people. But he said, I'd say it was 3 furlongs down, he said Lake Victoria's under pressure here, pushed along, and I was thinking, here we go, came up the near side and there was a roar from the crowd, because the funny thing is, like, a lot of people do not back favourites at them prices. So if you're, if there are people going at the race and they see Aidan O'Brien has an unbeaten second favourite at 11-2, or Aidan O'Brien has Bedtime Story at 4-6, what will I back? I'll have my score on the second favourite. So there's a big roar for Lake Victoria. Won well in the end, and I really like her, I think. And do you know the funny thing again, and it's a bit of a Frankel in her, as she came up, Wayne Lorden came up the outside, she started drifting further to the stand side, which wasn't that obvious sort of on the side on, but she's still kind of thinking about the game with plenty of ability.
As Corthy Champ, well, I think the jockey said that he would get a mile. He felt?
Without a doubt. In fairness to Scorthy Champ, he had to battle a long way out as well. Probably a race that he won partly because, definitely a race that he won partly because Henri Matisse just ran around a bit under pressure. I couldn't believe he won the way my tipping was going on the day. And I was thinking that this is too good to be true as Henri Matisse came up. Okay, he's not going to win. But Henri Matisse started running around and it was a very good ride as well. Like he had to tough it out under Dylan Brown, but he'd only 2 lengths to find with Henri Matisse after missing the break the last year. So I think you could make a case for him, but like there was no money for him either. Like all these, this is the beauty of, like you could go, it was like Laytown the other day in the first race. We had word for a horse that was 6-1 out to 12-1. And you're getting so much value on the track now, really are getting value on the track. And a lot of these drifters just won.
Bradsell was not a drifter, seventh in the race last year, but put that well behind him with a win in the Flying Five Stakes. Was a good winner, although Believing ran well also.
Believing ran well, and it was a special day for the husband and wife team of Holly Doyle, and or special weekend rather for Holly Doyle and Tom Marquand. I don't know, was she the first? She could have been the first woman to win a Group 1 in Ireland.
Okay.
It's a long time ago since Sunday now, and I haven't done enough homework for the recollection of it, but she's just a very good rider, got a good tune out of the horse, and again the British horse is dominating the Irish sprints.
Eyecatchers, anything else to put in the notebook maybe from the weekend?
The main one would have to be Shane Emperor. I just felt he was I suppose of the 2-year-olds, I really do like Lake Victoria, I think, in terms of what she could achieve next season, and I think there's more there. She's a horse that has won like with plenty in hand now in her last 2 starts and comprehensively confirmed the form with the Lions runner from the first day out, and she's only improving. In terms of Leopardstown, then, in terms of the eye catchers, I think one of the talking points of the weekend, JD, was that the 2-year-old race, there were only 4 runners in it, which they kind of have to look at that a bit, because you can't really have 4-runner 2-year-old races when you've a 2-year-old race over 7 furlongs the next day. So the Champion Juvenile 6 may be a little bit disappointing. Diego Velasquez was very good again, I thought. We didn't mention him. He's very, very well backed. And sort of the eye catchers then, Chemistry ran a nice race as well, in a race only Firefighter absolutely dominated. That was in the Premier Handicap. Chemistry could be an interesting horse going forward. Fighter is a horse who stays well, made the running under Wayne Hassett. Got a soft lead, really. And Chemistry was sort of staying on at the finish. Could be one to win a nice handicap or win a nice race next season.
Good Chemistry. And Listowel begins on Sunday, Kerry National next Wednesday. Means one thing, Johnny, soon the jumps will be back.
Yeah, like, and I don't know where I'm at for the jump season, and as much as I probably was brought up or got interested through jumps, like I'm enjoying the flat more at the moment. I mean, just that weekend and the quality of the races, the horse coming over from Japan, from Britain, from all over, really, and then seeing Laytown on Monday. But yeah, the Kerry National's back. I always think that the J and Wine Day is kind of when the jump's really back in early November, and then we have the Breeders' Cup that night. That's going to be a great day's racing. But it's my first time to stay down in Listowel. I'm staying down on Friday, so I'm doing the Friday and the Saturday. And looking forward to it. I've heard a lot about it. So yeah, we'll have a good crack in Listowel.
Do you find Stable Tours any use in the papers, or do you think they're a bit, look, they're a bit of muchness?
Yeah, I
do you ever find like 6 months later, oh, I read that in a stable tour 6 months ago and it's come through?
I'll definitely put a stock on trainer quotes. So if a trainer says something after the race, I absolutely want to hear that. Unless he or she is lying, and that's not generally the case, it's useful. And you'll get bits of information. And ultimately, it's kind of like betting on horses is trying to solve something. It's like trying to solve a crime and coming up with some sort of solution at the end, but getting every ingredient and every clue in place. And trainers commenting on their horses, he didn't handle the ground the last day, or he's a horse for this time of the season, stuff like that. Absolutely is useful, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So Navan on Saturday, Goran Park on Saturday. They're almost kind of industry meetings. There's nothing huge about them. You said in the member section you'll tip a horse for Navan. But anything else to look out for at Navan or Goran Park on Saturday?
Yeah, I couldn't believe this at Goran. I'm not a massive fan of these fillies races because they're just, they seem to attract, like, even funny enough, they don't attract a bad field, but the feature race at Goran, which is on at... this is the 4:01, as you say, JD. The race times, the Denny Cardell Laverack and a Lambwaite Stud Fillies and Mare Stakes. So Joseph O'Ryan has six runners in it. Like
right.
Six of the 12 runners, Joseph O'Ryan. He has Unreasonable, Uluru, Jesus, and Valpolicella, Goldana, and Adelaide. So interesting, Jamie Powell's picking up a rider. Jamie Powell is back among the winners. He's had a really tough season after winning the Apprentice Championship, and it's great to see him pick up good rides. But I just thought that was a bit mad that there was six from the one stable in a race. They'll all be trying, but these are like horses going for black type, which I think is an anachronism itself. The horse to give out, I'll give a horse later on at Navan that I really fancy, but I will give a mention as well to one that I tipped the last day, and she's a filly who did us a good turn, Irish Rumour. I'm just looking at what time she's going in here. She is going in the 6 furlong sprint anyway under Lee Roach tomorrow. But the last day she won, it was under Dylan Brown McMonagall, running the 5 furlong sprint rather at 2:35. I really like the way she did it. She went up 62-68. Irish Rumour, though, I'm really looking forward to her running again tomorrow.
Okay, that's Navan and Goran Park on Saturday. Just was looking at Newbury and the Group 3 there, the 5 furlong race at 1:30. Relief Rally is the horse I'm going to put up for the McMahon Double J. Course and distance winner last year. Only 3. I think an improvement is likely from this one. Would you like anything in this race? That's that horse or something else?
I thought this was open enough, actually. What did I go with in the end? I thought a Day in Heaven was very, very solid. And but I went with Relief Rally. She's a filly by...
Same as me.
Yeah, under Tom Marquand. Her run behind lead status the last day was very solid, and Willie Haggis with horses this time of year, she's only having her third run, so he's not rushing her. She's obviously, you know, 3-year-olds at this time of the season, maybe it's a little bit easier, but taking on the older horses isn't easy at all. But she'd definitely have an each way chance. Not a race I'd have a strong view on.
The Millreef Stakes is the Group 2 over 6 furlongs at 3:15. Powerful Glory was a Pontefract winner over 6 last time on his only start. Money for him as well as we record this on Friday. So Shadow of Life, second in a Group 2 last time out, has had 3 runs, probably between the two of them. Although Defence Minister and Sarab Star are both unbeaten. So you never know with an unbeaten horse. There's always more that's possibly to come.
Yeah, I don't know what to go off favourite here because like Shadow
probably
of Life...
No, Powerful Glory definitely, I'd say.
Do you reckon?
Well, yeah, the money for a lot of money for it now
well,
today.
Powerful Glory's had one run where admittedly he was sent off 10-11, but that was at Pontefract in a, what was it, a 7-runner maiden by Kotai Glory. And, you know, Shadow of Light's had 3 runs, but rating up to 108 after winning the last season. I'd be very surprised if Powerful Glory ran to that. So he was second to Cool Hoof Luke in the Gymcrack Stakes, rather. There's nothing wrong with that form. Symbol of Strength was third. We put that horse up subsequently in the all-weather, won well. And Camille Pissarro was held. I'd be against you on this, JD. Like, I think if you can 5-2 about a horse with form as solid as that against a once race winner at Pontefract, we'll have an even pint, shall we say, a pint of the hard stuff, pint of the black stuff, rather. Powerful Glory doesn't go off favourite, in my view.
Right, okay. Right.
For so Laytown next year.
McMahon and Double J, what are you picking? Members, not your Navan.
The members,
pick.
I'm going to go with. Don't
tell the members
again, yeah.
So this is not the members' pick. This is Irish Rumour. Once again, just remind us what time is Navan tomorrow.
Irish Rumour is running at Navan, and that's in the 5 furlong race, which is at, I think, 2:35.
Okay, the Kilberry handicap. So what price would you think it'll go off?
What price will it be, I suppose, as well? It was the last day it was sent off, what, 137-2. Should be fairly similar to that. It's a better race, but sorry, it's gone up in grade, I suppose, a bit, but it's only an 8-runner race. I'm going to say 11-4.
Okay.
Yeah.
Irish rumour is Johnny's McMahon, a double J pick, Lee Roach riding this one in the 235 and have a number six Irish rumour, course and distance winner. I'm going to go, as I said, for relief rally in the 130 at Newbury on Saturday. I want my tipping to be a bit better than has been. It's not been that great, and we're all, Johnny's bailing us out. But this relief rally, 6-1 each way.
Peaks and troughs.
That's it, 6-1 each way, relief rally. And McMahon a double J for the Racing Pod this week. If you're listening to the free version of the podcast, we're leaving you here. But if you're looking for more, including our look at Saturday's big handicaps at Ayr, including the Gold Cup and also Johnny's massive tip at Navan, go to offthewall.com/join to subscribe and get the full podcast with all of our racing tips, insights and stories from the week's action.
The Racing Pod
on Off the Ball
with William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.